I jotted down a couple things I think we should at least mention before we get into the heart of the sermon. We thought that she would be gone yesterday, but she's here today. So Dot Hall is back here in the back, and her son is here. I don't know if you know all this whole story. You know, Kenley, the son, teaches preaching at the seminary at Andrews University, and not that long ago was in a wheelchair. And was here in a wheelchair. And then he was healed. And he's walking, and he is good and perfect, and he is here. So her husband passed away last weekend. They've sold the house, and they're moving. But not only is she part of our church, she was a church secretary here for years, which I did not know till this week. In the north room now was where the church offices were, with Norm Verstay and Morris and all them. Anyway, and someone told me, Pastor Dan, she was everywhere. I don't know if you can stand, Kenley and Doc. Can you stand where you are and let our church just love you a little bit and give you a hand? There in the back. God bless you too. Driving tomorrow, she'll be staying at a new place there in close to Andrews, and then the services will actually be in Georgia at some time. If you see Pastor Sarah, I don't see her in here right now. She's not moving very well. Three nights ago, she stepped out of the shower onto a glass and broke that glass, and it went into her foot. She didn't exactly race to the ER, shall we say, and we've had a little pastoral council about that. 18 stitches the next morning, found another piece of glass in there. But hope she has been told not to drive. She's not probably supposed to be walking much. So just give her a little love when you see Pastor Sarah. The good thing that we're all happy with today is that John Cook is here. Where are you, John? I thought I saw him in here. Would you stand and let our church love you a little bit? Had a little drama that scared us all to death, but he had a couple procedures. And they can show him on the TV screen what it was before and how it is today. And he is better and back at work, and we're really thrilled, John. God bless you, my friend. And I just want to say now that more of you are here. Christina's here in the front row. She's already talked about it once, so we won't do that again. But just, we want to do something for Houston. Yes, many of you probably put $10, $20 or something on American Red Cross or on our website. But she called our academy and said, how are you doing? And found out how they're doing. Under 8 feet of water and all of that. They're trying to make do all the school in the gym. And we're going to have a banquet next Saturday night. And I just want to encourage you to come. You know, we're going to have great food. We'll get someone catering it. The food isn't free, but the person catering it was free. And some music. And just come, 6:30 Saturday night. And know that your $10 will probably take an offering. And just, if we could send them $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 and say, your fellow sister church in California said, if it was us, we would be wishing for help from somewhere. And someday we may have the earthquake, and we'll be wish the whole world would raise their hand and say, we'll help California. It's our turn to help Houston. Amen? And let's just do what we can. Please put that on your calendar next Saturday night. We hopefully have a little video. My theme today is finishers. And Sonny put together a little 20, 30 seconds of finishers. I hope this will work. Can you show that? Idea, I think. They call them finishers. They're not the one that rebound the ball or bring the ball up, but they are the best at finishing. Kobe Bryant, the finisher. I, of course, think Michael Jordan was the best finisher ever. In soccer, Many of you are old enough to remember Pele. There are great finishers today. But he was just incredible. I watched clips of it yesterday. Bicycle kick. You know, I am not a soccer person where I can sit there and watch a game for an hour and a half. I mean, that is really slow. I like the highlights. When you watch the highlights and the women win 7-1 and just one goal after the other, that's the way the whole game should be for me. Finishers. You got your defense, you got the others, but then there's finishers. Not just in sports. We'll take someone like Churchill. We would have all been under Hitler. Except one man stood up on a little island of England and said, we are never going to give up. We will fight on the beaches. We will fight in the fields. We are never going to give up. You all know the story. Years later, 80 years old, and they had him speak at a graduation. And the graduation went like 3 or 4 hours, and everybody's tired. And they finally let old Winston Churchill get up to the microphone. He looked out at those graduates, shook his old 80-year-old head, and he said, never. Never, 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 never give up. And sat down. Maybe the most famous graduation speech ever. Never give up. Finishers. Close doesn't count. I got a picture of baseball. You can be inches away. You went all the way around. Doesn't count. You didn't finish. Seattle Seahawks, what, a year or two ago? 1 yard from a Super Bowl win. Everyone knew this was it. Seattle's going to win. Didn't get it. They lost. Didn't finish. Last Saturday night, Texas A&M playing UCLA. They're ahead by 34 points, 44 to 10, and lost the game 45 to 44. Didn't finish. You got to finish. And we're wrapping up our series today on Joshua and Judges. And God is getting a little frustrated. They're in the promised land. And God wants to remind them what he had said back in Deuteronomy. We have the pictures up here for the text. Hear, O Israel, you are about to cross over the Jordan River to take over the land that belongs to nations much more powerful than you. They have cities with walls to the sky, and the people are giants. But know today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross over ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them. He will subdue them so that you will quickly conquer them and drive them out. They were to drive them out. God will do it, but they are to drive them out. They were not to leave one city, one tribe, one person, one giant still in the land. He said, if you leave anybody there, they will be a thorn in your side forever. Which is exactly what happened. And they don't do it. They go a long ways. They leave Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. They go across the desert. They cross the Jordan River. They do Jericho. They have Jericho. They have Gideon. They have Deborah. They have Barak. These great, great giants. Samson. And then they stop. They don't drive out the last few tribes. And they begin to build their own houses and build their farms. And they begin to coexist with these last giants and walled cities. And the Bible says in Judges 1, and then many verses down, they didn't drive them all out. That tribe, that tribe, that tribe left them there. We do it. We're all good people. We're in church. Preaching to the choir. We're church. We stop using four-letter words, and we go to church, and we give offering, and we come help pass out food at the counter, and we have people at the homeless right now. We're good people. But we stop and don't drive out those last few giants and walled cities. You think of Clinton. President for 8 years, most powerful job in the world. And he doesn't drive out one last demon in his life and just cheats himself and us and the whole world. Too bad. Tiger Woods. He grew up with Jack Nicklaus' picture on his wall. 18 major championships, and he was going to find a way to beat Nicklaus and was on his way, had 14. then drive out the last few demons and walls. And most people think he'll never get it done now. We'll see. Lance Armstrong. Interesting little vignette just happened weeks ago. We were young pastors together. No pictures on this one. There's the taxi. This young man was a pastor with me. We were in the seminary together. Talented, beautiful wife and children. Just a great guy. But didn't drive out one big bad area in his life. Began to cheat on his wife over and over again. I was with two of my pastor's friends a few weeks ago, and they said, "You know who I met?" "Who'd you meet?" He said, "I was in a taxi, and it was him." 40 years later, it's okay to drive a taxi, but that was not his promised land. He was a great, great talent, but didn't drive out the last group of demons. Cheated out of his own promised land. Here's the point. The reason to finish is not so that you can finally go to heaven, that you will finally deserve for God to give you a mansion and let you live forever. We get to heaven through Jesus and him finishing and not our finishing. But the reason to finish, to get rid of those last few giants, is to get your own promised land. God has a promised land, not just in heaven, but here for you. A place of your destiny that he's designed for you, that he wants you to get to at its best. And if you let any of these last few walled cities hang around, they will cause hell and they will cheat you out of your own promised land. Bob is coming into his promised land, gets to do what he was called to do. And somebody blessed it this week. Don't let anybody cheat you from yours. And if you're wondering somehow if things aren't going as well as you think they should, and your life has really not gone to the places where you think it should have gone and you were meant to do it, maybe this is where to look. Are there some walled cities or some giants that are still you allowed to hang out rather than driving them all the way out? On our trip, we went to Skagway in Alaska. Skagway was where 40,000 people came to go up to the Klondike, the gold rush. Great place. We had rode the train, all of that. But Skagway is famous for someone named Soapy Smith. This is not my grandfather, all right? Let's be very clear. Not related. He had been a con man all over the country. His famous thing was, he and a bunch of his gang would go to a street corner and they would wrap up some cakes of soap. And they would put money, $1 bills and $100 bills around some of the soap. And they would cover them all up with paper so you didn't know which one. And then they would say, "Anybody want to buy one? You might get the one with the money." And they had some fakes and had some things. But when you actually sold them to people, they had already gotten rid of the ones with money. They knew how to do that. And they called him Soapy Smith. And now he's in Skagway. And he and his gang have taken over this city. And there is all kinds of stuff going on. And they get all the money from people on their way in. And they try to get all the gold from people on the way out. And finally, 100 people had to gather together to say, "We are losing our city because of this man. And he has to go." And they had a showdown down on the pier. And he is killed. And the other gang were put in jail. Because they knew that they would never be able to get the gold if they didn't get this out of the way. And now you can go on a tour and they show you all this stuff. And I would like to take this challenge today is to put a whole new picture on perfection. Adventists have wrestled with the issue of perfection as maybe been the dominant issue we have wrestled with for 150 years. I am a world class worrying about perfection. I have lived this issue. And most of us grew up with investigative judgment. That your name can come up in the judgment. God has gone into the judgment of the living. And when your name comes up, you have to be perfect at that minute, or your name would go off the list. Then we had a theology of the close of probation, that no one knows the day when God will close the door And if that very minute you're in a theater or you got some other little sin that you're committing, you're off. It's too late. And the third one is without a mediator, that there would be a time at the end of the world when Jesus will leave the sanctuary in heaven and there will be nobody there. And if you sin, there is no forgiveness and nobody there to hear your prayer. And you're on your own. You better figure out how you're not going to sin during that time. You better go live up at PUC or Loma Linda where there's no place to sin. Or you're going to be in trouble. Sorry, you don't have to pass that joke around anywhere. No. And over the years, I have switched away from that understanding. The answer is here in the book of Judges. The problem with sin and these giants is not the making God mad or somehow that'll keep you out of heaven and you won't satisfy God. The problem with leaving these walled cities in your life is that you cheat your promised land, the destiny that God has for you. And if you got drama going on and stuff happening in your life and you wonder, why is this happening? Maybe it's time to face those giants and say, let's get these out. Let's get them all the way out. That's what perfection is all about. I got two or three little metaphors here to try to give you an idea. I was somewhere overseas when Hilda emailed me and said that Eric, in the middle of the night, had gone into the bathroom and there was a baby rattlesnake in our bathroom. And he said he just was transfixed. He's like, just stunned. Finally came to and went to get Hilda and woke her up and came in and they killed that little rattlesnake. But of course, if there's a baby rattlesnake, what are you worried about? If there's a mother and some more babies someplace. So we tiptoed around and boy, we didn't walk around in the dark anywhere in the house. Perfection is not about somehow keeping the list perfectly so you can go to heaven someday. Perfection is, I don't want any snakes in my house. Not one. You understand? I want them out. Out. I read a book years ago called The Red October about a submarine. The Russians on that boat wanted to give their submarine over to the Americans. So it was a long drama. But somehow, almost at the end of that process, all the Russians on that boat are ready to give themselves over to the U.S. except one. And he's the last communist on the boat, and he's way down in there somewhere, and he's shooting at people. And the captain and the American have to crawl through all those channels. They got to get the one man. And you could say, you got 180 who are with you. Who cares about the one? You're 600 feet down in the middle of the ocean. You cannot let one man, because if you let him start shooting, he will kill all 600, all of you. You've got to get that last one. And Ellen White and C.S. Lewis and other writers say, if you allow any area of death to be in your life, that area of death will eventually kill it all. People come to me once in a while who have gotten cancer. And they say, Pastor Dan, what should I do? I am not a doctor. Please don't take this wrong. But I just have my little default and I say, go get it out. Get it out. Yes, go take chemo. Yes, take radiation. Drink juices. Walk. Whatever it is they want you to do. But go get it out. Go to the hospital right now. Don't go home. Don't go anywhere. Get it out. That's my doctoral advice. You don't want that in. So this is the other view of perfection. It is not to satisfy God. It is not to somehow satisfy some giant judgment at the end of the world. The reason for perfection is to drive out those last places of pockets of enemy so that they're out, so you are free to live the promised land life that God wants you to live. But another way of looking at perfection, it is that last 10% that makes the difference in the world. You can go to the 90. You can be killing it for God and be living a wonderful life and powerful and anointed and blessed ways. But if you don't get that last 10%, those last giants, those last walled cities out, they will be a thorn in your side and they will cheat you out of your promised land and the destiny that God wants you to do. And I have pastored and been it myself for a long time. You've all seen these, what they call gauntlets. In the olden day, they still have TV shows with different kinds of things now, where the knights would have to get in line and go through all these spinning saws. The next picture. Go through all these spinning saws. Well, something's out of order. And balls and all kinds of things. And you had to time it and get the way. And most of them would not make it. And they'd be cut and blued and fall down until Sir Lancelot stood up. And he was able to go through. And he gets to kiss the girl on the other side. And that girl and that kiss stand for heaven and the promised land someday. And Israel had their promised land, and they had to go through that final gauntlet of these final cities and these giants in the land and drive them out in order to finally have a promised land that was free of all of them. God said, drive them out. Do not live with them in your presence. They didn't do it. And Satan has put up a gauntlet for every one of us. And he has these saws and these hammers and these balls coming at us all the time. And he is a genius for thousands of years of coming up with a way to get you that is designed just for you, because he knows who we are. He is a million times smarter than Bin Laden or ISIS or any of those people. And the Bible says he has 200 million demons coming out of the pit, metaphorically. And they never sleep, and they spend every minute designing new terrorist attacks to come after you and put walled cities and giants in front of you to keep you from finishing and getting through to your promised land. You can't leave them there. You can't say, well, I've already come this far. Look what I've already come, Pastor. Drive the last few out in order to be all that you want to be. And want to be. So I have a list just for fun. You know that as senior pastors, we get a printout from the conference every week of all your sins. The conference has cameras everywhere. You are never where the conference can't see. And we get it. I know. Some people, can't handle money. I had someone the other day came to see me, $24,000 in debt to credit cards, and then he went out and bought a piano on top of that. I know somebody was a pastor for 50 years. A few weeks ago, they found out that he had one of these scams. You send a little bit of money, and then you'll get millions. And he had spent every money, dollar that they had saved, in his 80s now, and had mortgaged the house without telling his wife or anybody, and lost all of that money too. Just can't handle money. And there are many people who are just fantastic people, good people in America, can't handle money. One giant, one wall city. Other people can't handle food. Don't get out in shape. Don't just struggle with the health side of their lives. Different areas. Pornography. I read some statistic last night in a new book someone sent to me. The numbers are staggering. 56% of men admit to watching some pornography every month, and the number in the church is exactly the same. In the church. Many other areas good. One area hasn't been driven out. Drinking. Someone came to see me the other day, thought they could do this. Church is kind of old fashioned to be hung up on all this alcohol thing. Thought it would be okay. It's not okay. They're struggling. Be careful. Be careful. Sexuality. Someone came to see me the other day. Pastor Dan, I got baptized. I was so alive. I was so excited. I was. But somehow now, Pastor Dan, it's gone. That I can't find God. I can't feel God. It's just gone. So we began to work back. When did all that sort of happen? Exactly from the time that she moved in with the boyfriend. I said, that'll do it. That'll do it. Be careful. Be careful. Some people might be addiction to anger. Good people, but somehow You can't understand why their relationships are not as good as they would like them to be. Don't understand. It's because you're getting hurt all the time. Good people, one area, not taken care of. Could be management of time. Could be not getting stuff done. Could be just drama. Could be whatever. Many, many different walls and giants. And God says, drive them out. Don't let anybody take away your promised land. And if you're looking at your life and you can see that it's not what it all could be, maybe this is where you need to look. I was talking about this with somebody a couple days ago, and they said, Pastor Dan, ask them this. If you're in the middle of the night, an angel came to you and said, I will drive out all the last few demons and all those last few giants, if you'll just let me, would you do it? Would you do it? If I make an appeal today and said, you can come down today, and today this will magically all be gone. You will never have one of these giants to face again. It'll be gone. Would you do it? Next week, Pastor Dan, we'll think about that a little bit. Do we really want these things to be gone and taken out of our life? We don't realize that's where the drama comes from. That's where the relationship struggles come from. That's why we're not in shape. Why we can't put in a whole day without some extra things to help us get through the day. That's why these things are going on in our life. Because we've allowed some of these giants to hang out and to coexist. And Jesus says, drive them out. Don't stop. Just don't stop. You had the Jericho, you had all that. It is possible to have Jericho after Jericho after Jericho. You don't have to live a life with Jericho and then Ai, and then Jericho and Ai. You can have Jericho, 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 Jericho. God will come. All he says is, you march, I'll drive them out, and you will have a promised land without any more giants and no more walled cities. That's what God promises to you. I can do this. I can drive them out. Interesting article in Wired magazine this last week where it says that Instagram has decided that it is possible now with their software that they have worked on for a year that they can filter out every single mean remark, any crummy remark that comes from anybody. You will never see another negative word on Instagram if they have anything to say about it. The power of the filters that they're trying to do. And I wanted to say, we have better than filters. We have God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God. I will drive them out. I will drive out the enemy. Just say yes, and I'll do it. We have God. And so I put some sentences up on the screen for you. If we really believe these things, God will drive them out. Let me just read them to you quickly. God will drive those last few demons out when you decide once and for all that you want them out. That keeping your mind clean and pure is more fun than watching pornography or R-rated movies. That being in shape is more fun than being out of shape. That living 12 extra years is better than dying 12 years too soon. That having people like having you around is more fun than always criticizing and putting people down and getting angry. And being with one person who has promised to be faithful to you forever is more fun than playing around. Amen? You decide that, and God will drive them out. I put a picture up here of Houston. If we decide that somehow serving people and caring about people is more fun than looking out for yourself all the time. And someday there is going to be a time when there is going to be a growing group of people who do this, who say to God, I'm tired of having that last 10%. Take it out, God. Just drive them out. God, I don't want them around anymore. Be gone. And this group of people will just be the most awesome, incredible group of people with no more drama, with the craziness out, and love and magic. I've got 3 or 4 illustrations of this, the best I could come up with. We were in Chicago 25, 30 years ago. We needed another pastor. The committee voted for this young woman to come. Pastor didn't really vote. It just given to us. Smart, talented in many ways. But boy, within about 5 minutes of being at the church, she began to nuke people in the church. Drove out all the leaders on her committees. Difficult, difficult lady. Staff meetings, pastoral meetings, difficult. You couldn't work out where you're going to eat for lunch. I mean, just difficult. For 2 years, till another church took her. Finally, one day we were at a staff retreat at Battle Creek. Winter, lake, we walked on the ice. And all of a sudden, she went to the back bedroom and went to sleep. And for the first time in 2 years, the staff were together without that. And the staff laughed, and they sang, and they were happy. And we went on the van down to Battle Creek, and we went to all the cemeteries and all the Adventist places. And we went out to pizza, and everybody was happy, and they were joyful, and everything was the way it's supposed to be. Then we got back to the motel, and she had woken up. And you could feel the gloom and doom walk back into the room. No, that isn't the point. It's those hours in between that I wanted to catch that picture, that someday there will be a group of people, that the enemies and the walled cities have all been cast out, and they are just great, loving, 1 Corinthians 13, alive, powerful people of God. And we get to do life together. Incredible. We're on this boat, the end of a week. We come to the last day, we finally had good weather. We're walking around, watching the sunset. Saw a killer whale go by. Gorgeous scenery. Food, incredible. 3 meals a day, just incredible while you're watching the ocean go by. Music everywhere, great music. People always nice to you, all these Filipinos and Indonesians and all these people who are caring for you, always very, very nice. And you walk into your room and they've taken the towels and made little monkeys and hippopotamuses and whatnot out of the towels. Very nice. And then all of a sudden, these stupid boat people make you get off. You only get 1 week. 1 week of life the way it's supposed to be, where everyone is nice and there's great food and there's music. But just a week. You go down there to Houston, and there's story after story on television, on the newspapers, of what these people have done to rescue people. Lady is pregnant. She called out somewhere. They brought a big, huge truck, drove right through the water, right up to her house. And the neighbors made a human chain to carry her out to the truck and saved her. Stories, hundreds of stories. And of course, you have to ask the question, if we can do it when there's a disaster, why can't we do it the rest of the time? And I heard someone say at the end of the Olympics in China, in Beijing, he said, for 2 weeks, people came from all over the world who were in countries that are in war with each other and fighting each other. But when they came here, they let all that go. And for 2 weeks, there was nothing of that. Only playing and only together in the Olympic Village. He said, if we can do it for 2 weeks, why can't we do it for a month? And if we can do it for a month, why can't we do it for a year? And the Bible says, if we can do it for a year, we can do it for 1,000 years. And there is a day coming when there will be a promised land with no more walled cities and no more giants and no more demons. They will all have been cast out. And we will do 1,000 years with the best people in the world. Amen? God bless you all.